we have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route.
Lee Oswald has been shot.
Paddock fired out of two adjoining rooms using a device similar to a hammer to smash the windows.
Several flying saucers there of extraterrestrial origin.
How dare you?
Digging Chris Graves.
Hi, welcome to Digging Chris Graves, the holiday beta test Christmas edition. I'd like to welcome a very special guest, my first special guest, Mr. Jason Barker. How are you, sir? Merry Christmas, by the way.
Oh, Merry Christmas. We got, an hour and a half to go on the Eastern Seaboard here. And, hey, great intro, man. Great intro video. That's kind of cool. You hit all the kind of topics there.
Yeah, no, the individual that created it for me was very, very talented, and I was very pleased. And even in that intro, there's certain things that are said at the end that really made me smile, because I used to know someone that would say, how dare you, quite a bit. So that really tickled me pink, or whatever the common expression is. So, first of all, we had talked before that during the events of September 11th, 2001, you had your experience. You were in the armed services, and what was your take? And where were you in the world during that fateful day, if you're comfortable?
No, I like talking about this because I'm kind of passionate about it. So at the time, I was actually stationed in Okinawa. I was a communications specialist at a fixed station, point-to-point radio place. And we had a humongous category. It might have been a category 5. I don't know. 4 or 5 typhoon. Huge one. We call them hurricanes here. They call them typhoons over there. Same, right? But this thing, it had passed over us. And we go into kind of a lockdown mode, where everyone gets their water and their food and they hunker down. You know, the Japanese people, they have steel reinforced concrete buildings. So they just, McDonald's is open. Everyone's about their business. But, you know, Americans.
Outside, everything's all hectic.
Yeah. And this one was particularly bad, though. So what they do is they, we had shifts, you know, so it was my turn to do this typhoon. So I was locked down. It was supposed to be for like a day or two. At work, because we were a 24-hour facility. You have to keep this stuff up and running. And anyway, throughout the night, this typhoon had circled around and come back over us and just hovered over Okinawa, which actually saved a lot of our assets, because we found out later that there was a lot of planned attacks. So 9/11 was not, if people don't understand this, on 9/11, it was not restricted to the stuff that happened in the U.S. There were attacks all over the world that were just shadowed and you didn't see it.
Just for even myself, who I'm not patting myself on the back or anything, but I've been researching 9/11 pretty much since 9/11. I know of some things that happened, like especially later on in the night of 9/11. I know Kandahar, I believe, had explosions going off that people, you know, around the world thought maybe we had something to do with, but officially we didn't. You actually have me speechless right now.
I know we didn't talk about this before.
No.
Through it. Yeah.
No. Sorry. I'm intrigued, because maybe I did come across some of this stuff, but
so I can give you a firsthand experience.
Would you be able to remind everybody, what were some of these other things going on?
So this is my firsthand experience, and I actually had a, I only know about some of this stuff because I, after the aftermath and we got, you know, the lockdown, and then I finally got released, and I ran into a guy that I actually was probing me. He, you know, we had a special sticker on our vehicle to get into certain bases.
Right.
And a guy at this auto repair shop I was taking my boss to pick his car up that had been there pre 9/11. It had been there and it was stuck there because we couldn't get out.
Right.
And while I'm waiting for him to haggle over the price, because the car had been stored there, you know, and they were haggling over the price. And this guy comes up to me, pretends he works there. And he was from a Middle Eastern descent, you know, it was obvious.
Yeah.
But I thought he worked there. And he starts to talk to me about, like, he really liked my car because I had a pretty pimpin' car, man. It was pretty nice.
Oh,
you know, the paint job, the lighting, the stereo. That was me back in the day. Very non-political, just chilling.
Chilling in the Batmobile.
Right. And anyway, this guy starts talking to me about, yo, bro, I like your car. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's cool. You know, so he starts talking to me. He's like, oh, I see you're from, and I won't name the base. He says, you're from this base. I'm like, red flag. How do you know that? And I see him looking down at the little sticker on my bumper.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is a red flag here. So he starts asking me, he's like, man, you guys have been really, really busy over there. Like, what's your working hours? Are you 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off? I'm like, I don't know, man. I just sweep floors. That's all I do. I sweep floors. I don't know what goes on there. I'm a simple peon.
And if I did, I wouldn't be allowed to talk about it.
Well, yeah. And he kind of like backed off and he started talking about, you know, the beaches and the car clubs and things, because he could see them into cars, you know?
Yeah.
So then he just like slowly drifts back into the conversation about, so what do you guys do over there? And I'm like, I told you, man, I sweep floors. So I ended up reporting this guy.
Yeah.
You know, I get back to my and I actually had a very important job there, but it, of course I didn't let him know that.
Right.
Before I go there, I went in because the guy made me super uncomfortable. So I went in to find my boss and I said, hey, there's a guy out there asking really weird questions, because he was
fishing for information. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously fishing. He was trying to get a rapport with me.
Yeah.
And you know, we have that anti-terrorism training and stuff like that you're supposed to know. Yeah. When there's
what
a red flag,
you're not supposed to talk about it either, you know?
Right. Apparently, the training worked because I picked up on it. I went in and talked to him, and he's like, "Well, it's probably nothing." You know, this guy was kind of he wasn't a very good leader, but anyway, that's not beside the point. Anyway, so I come back out, and the guy's gone. So then I go back in, and I'm like, "Hey, where's your guy at?"
Yeah,
he's like, "Everybody that works for me is right here." And I was like, "Whoa, this guy just ghosted out. He just showed up."
Yeah.
He saw the sticker on my car, came out, asked a bunch of questions and ghosted out. So then I went back to my work and I reported it, you know, to a hire, and they ended up pulling me into the FCO, which is a facility control office. That's where the zipper net and all that, you know, secret stuff is. And they threw up a freaking dossier on this guy.
They knew who he was.
Oh, they had pictures. They had everything. And they're like, we've been trying to find this guy for months. And this is like,
oh, really?
Yeah, they've been trying to. This guy was doing some stuff on some other bases, trying to basically the same thing, just trying to dig for information. And he threw up a bunch of red flags. He had worked, he was really pushing to work inside, you know, as a contractor or whatever.
Right.
And through that process, I found out that, you know, during 9/11, we were supposed to have a mortar attack on our radio tower.
Wow.
They knew they were across the street for freaking months, but what can you do? It's a Japanese government, right? Like, you can tell these guys got some weird looking tubes sticking out their apartment. some other things happened. Emergency vehicles were stolen. All of the junkyards, which also turned out to be like to repair your car kind of yards and stuff.
Yeah.
They had Japanese front men, but they were owned by Middle Eastern people. And people that had reported missing uniforms, missing license plates, everything. And at the time, before 9/11, it was pretty much if you had a Yankee plate, which what we call a Yankee plate means that if your license plate starts with a Y in Japan, that means you're an American.
Right.
If it starts with the kanji symbol, then you're Japanese. So if you had a Yankee plate, they just waved you in. There was no really ID checking, right? Okay. And they also had a policy of if an emergency vehicle comes on, because we had really good medical facilities on the Air Force Base and the Naval bases, they would just wave those people on. So hence the stealing of the emergency vehicles. You get the uniforms
and the plates.
Yankee plates.
Yeah.
Yeah. It turns out that there was a coordinated attack on Okinawa, and I don't know what their targets were. I don't know. It might have been two, it might have been three. But people don't understand that when 9/11 happened, this was a worldwide coordinated attack.
Wow.
It wasn't just a handful of people flying a couple planes into a building.
Right.
This was orchestrated to like, and I don't want to get into this tonight, but there's a significance to that date.
I've heard this,
Oh, it's 100% fact. And it goes back to the, you know, we start our show with the Knights Templar thing, right?
Yeah.
Some people don't like that.
I love it. It's nice.
I understand it's a strong arm of the Catholic, you know, faith.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool intro, yeah.
But no, it really, it's a religious battle, and there was a significant date. I won't go any further into that, but that is a specific date for the extreme, and I will second that it is an extremist group that dates
not all of them. Not all of Islam.
Right. But no, 9/11, that's what it was to me. That was the aftermath. But during it, let me get back to the point.
Yeah.
During it, I was actually sitting, and me and my buddy, I brought my computer in. Back then, it was pretty much a loose network. You know, you can get on the internet. We had better internet at work. So we were downloading music and stuff because we had better connectivity, which we probably shouldn't have been doing, but we weren't like... there were no rules in place at the time. It was kind of like the Wild West of the internet and the army, you know.
Well, and to be fair, we weren't in active conflict at that moment.
No.
After that.
Well, Nippernet and Cyprinet were very isolated. Right. You know, they had their own thing, but we had our little work computers, you know, maybe one per section with Windows, was it 98 second edition? I think.
Probably.
But
like I had that too. Yeah.
But we're out there, you know, we're a couple privates out there being dirty. You know, my buddy hooked us into, somehow he got us into the internet to where we could download some music and stuff a little faster. Yeah. And then when the first plane hit, of course we all caught that late. We're watching the smoking building on CNN, and we all walk out of my little office. We walk out into the big office and they get the big TV up.
Yeah.
And we're like, wow. And then we watched live the second plane hit. My buddy said, get your computer off the network. We're going to war. They need the bandwidth. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was just my experience.
Like, just like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the typhoon that was hovering over us actually saved. I mean, they weren't aiming for our building. From the intel that I heard, they were aiming for like the COMO, the communications. We're a communications group. So probably taking out the COMO. Then if it was me planning it, take out the COMO, hit the hospital or whatever, the main building at Kadena Air Base in Japan. There was other targets. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that was missing that.
Probably didn't get reported too. Maybe that's
no. They got reported, but nobody put the pieces together till after the fact. They're like, now it makes sense. It was supposed to be a bombardment of all these maybe VBIDs, which is a vehicle-borne IED or something. You know, you're going to drive it up to a building and blow it up. But literally, the typhoon acting crazy saved a lot of targets that were. Wow. You know, that was my experience anyway.
Well. Hey, I don't want to call it a silver lining, but at least it wasn't as bad as it could have been, is what I'm gathering right now.
Yeah, and you know what's sad?
And it was bad, but it could have been a lot worse.
What's sad is there's a lot of tragedies that happened around the world that with embassies and things that people don't know about because, you know, the World Trade Center coming down, oh, my God, and the Pentagon, wow, it overshadows. But you got to understand, this was not an isolated attack on America. This was an isolated attack against the West, against the structure. And I will say that very carefully, the structure that the West has.
And our way of life.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say this. I do know that during the attacks in New York and Washington, there was a hurricane right off the shore, Hurricane Aaron.
I remember.
If you go back and look, it makes questionable movements. And what I mean by that, I'm not getting all, you know, conspiracy on you, but it's just
We can go there, man. We can go there if you want. That's cool.
Well, I mean, some people have made videos on like YouTube and things like that. And just based on the, you know, the footage of the reporting on the day before the attacks even happened, they were just the erratic movements. And I'm not saying that, you know, they controlled the weather on 9/11 or whatever, but it is a fact that there are weather weapons, and there's actually treaties in place that were signed agreeing that it would not be used in warfare against other countries, whether or not they have treaties saying that they can't use weather weapons on their own people in different countries. I don't know, but I do know that in 1976, there is the weather weapons treaty agreeing to not use it on one another in conflict.
Didn't we also agree not to weaponize space, which would fall under that?
Because yeah,
the satellites that emit, and I know what you're talking about with enough, RF with at the right frequency, you know, you can you're basically microwaving the surface of the ocean. If you if you can control the temperature by a couple degrees left or right, you actually can steer a hurricane. You can. I mean, it's theoretical. I don't know if we've ever done it, but theoretically, well, it's possible.
In theory, it was supposed to help out with like famine and for crops. Yeah. Like
or that. To, let's just say, and this is where I read about it. And this has been probably 10 or more years ago I read about this.
Yeah.
Because I was into microwaves. I mean, and I'm not talking about cooking your pizza. I'm talking about communications.
Right.
Which we have a, God knows that. Look at the Starlink network, right? We have, they all work on microwaves. And it's just a matter of amplitude, you know, and the wattage, right? How powerful can you get that? You know, like your microwave, you can put it on popcorn setting, which could be the popcorn setting might be for your cell phone or for whatever. But then you put it on like, you know, or defrost setting or popcorn setting. But you put it on like, you know, cook the crap out of that, that you're cranking it up. And theoretically,
a good example of that is the HARP installation in Alaska. You know,
yeah,
there's been some documentaries on that, and it's almost as if, like you just said, put it on popcorn setting or whatever.
Yeah,
the settings for HARP would be control some weather, right, or mess with human beings' brain frequencies. That's another thing. And the third one was you could actually take down an airliner out of the sky using the HARP technology by, like you, what you said, just controlling the microwaves. And
the only reason I bring it up
is that there are a lot of people that might think what I'm saying is like out of, you know, Gene Roddenberry or science fiction, but the capabilities are there, just like with the space.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not going to be the guy that's going to jump in the rabbit hole head first. And you know who I am, Chris. I'm the guy who looks for motive. I'm the skeptic. I brought it up too.
I wasn't even saying that Hurricane Aaron, that was the cause of some of the questionable movements, because sometimes the weather patterns will do have oddities that are just, you know, you can explain. So I'm just saying when you had mentioned the typhoon going on at that time, it just reminded me of Hurricane Aaron right off the coast of New York City.
I never thought about that because that was the longest typhoon shift I ever pulled. It was one of the worst we had, probably not the worst. I think I've been through one worse there, and I was there for almost 10 years.
Wow.
It did pass over us. It was almost gone. We were getting ready to go home. We wanted to go home.
Right.
But then it just did a 180, which you don't see that. It literally did a 180, went right back over the island and sat there.
You're just saying facts, right?
No, this is a fact. It actually happened. And at the time, I was just a happy-go-lucky kid having fun out in Okinawa. Yeah. And, you know, no political thing, it's just some memories I remember.
Yeah.
I remember it. I remember all these little facts. And, you know, I was like, wow. And I knew right away. And by the way, before I go on further, just because this is a test run, that's what we're doing. We're doing a test run here, first run. I just got a notification on your Twitter 18 minutes into the show. So there's something worth noting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't get an instant notification.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't go above beyond a certain time period. Okay.
No. Live stream, we're good, man.
Still.
Yeah. You're using the same platform we are, right? You're using the StreamYard?
Yeah. I think, I'm using StreamYard. That's what you guys use, right?
Right. And that's great. You can stream now. Pre-record is different. We learned the hard way. We tried to pre-record something.
Did you?
Yeah. If you're on the tier one, I don't know if it goes any higher on tier two or tier three. Cause there's
I'm on the ground floor. So
I think you're good for an hour. Okay. Do not go over 1 second over an hour.
No,
I'm trying to train
my brain right now. Even if this doesn't matter, I just want to make sure. And we have the live thing in the corner. I noticed. Okay.
Yeah. You're good, man. We can go for as long as you want to go.
As long as you're comfortable. I know you're taking the time. I'm very honored. It's Christmas Eve, and you knew that I was a little lonesome. So,
we're here for you, man.
I appreciate that.
Okay. But hey, let's get back on to the 9/11 thing, I guess.
Yeah. Well, can I ask you, do you think, so when I was mentioning that Hurricane Aaron that was literally right off the coast of New York City, like right over the ocean right there, no one brought it up like ever again, like I noticed, you know what I mean? It was like it didn't happen at all, and understandably so, what happened. But the fact, would that, even if there was no malicious things involved, would that play a part with the communications kind of getting disrupted that day? Like, possibly?
I mean, not really. I mean, microwaves are pretty high frequency. I mean, they cut.
Oh, no, I'm talking if it was a legitimate, just natural hurricane, like.
No, I think you're talking about communications from like the air traffic control to the
airplanes. Or even the cell phones that went down.
Cell phones, because they're a little lower powered. Because
I'm playing devil's advocate right now too.
Right. So you got to understand. You got to understand with like the kind of communications I did was point to point. So they use those little radar dishes,
right?
And they funnel it. So it we did have issues with certain weather patterns that would kind of interfere with it, especially if it's encrypted. If it's encrypted, it's more likely to go down.
Okay.
But I mean, and we did have issues during these hurricanes, and I've had to go, or these typhoons we call them. I've had to go out to some of our remote sites, and we had to go and temporarily drop crypto to run it open. To let it go until we could figure out how to fix it.
Okay.
And there was nothing secret on those. It's just a nature that we encrypt stuff in the Army, right?
Oh, okay.
So we'd have to actually dispatch people out. And one of these places was like 2 hours away because it was so hard to get to up in the mountains.
Yeah.
And typically storms, they do interfere a little bit, but and a typhoon or a hurricane, it could, but not. I mean,
let's say they were able to use some kind of technology like what I was referring to. Like,
I see where you're going.
Yeah. If treaties had to be signed to make sure no one used them on each other, like in warfare, could that be? I know it would be a smoke screen, you know, maybe when it comes to communications with the air traffic control, but I really don't know where I was going with that, to be honest with you.
I would honestly say about the day
that people forgot, you know.
I know that the hurricane was there. I remember that because we were following that before ours hit.
And it kind of turned around, and I was wondering, that's why. Thank you.
Do you think they steered it so this could happen?
I'm wondering if it was. No. I'm just
trying to see where you're going.
Oh, no. I now realize. I'm not really, you know, not really well versed in like weather and patterns and things, but do you think Hurricane Aaron, that was right off the east coast of the United States, was a part of the same weather system or pattern that you had to deal with the typhoon a little later on in Japan?
Oh, no, it's too far away. Yeah, two different sizes of the earth, brother.
Right, in the Pacific Ocean's the west coast, and we're talking about the Atlantic.
Oh, yeah, so
days
so
closed. All right, now I know.
No, I see what you're saying, though. I mean, where I thought you were going with it was because I was talking about how we were talking about how they had the technology to actually, or they have the technology.
To be perfectly honest with you, I did start going that way. You should be proud of me. I pulled myself back away from that a little bit. Yeah.
Now, am I going to say? Am I going to say that they steered something away so they can orchestrate something? That's a reach a little bit too far.
Oh, yeah.
But is the technological ability there? Possible. We know it is. Do they have it? We don't know. Right. We know that it's possible. Yeah. We absolutely know it's possible.
We just have to look at the HAARP facility in Alaska. Yeah. You know, there's some documentation behind that. Dr. Nick Begich, I believe, came out about that quite a bit, and they're saying it's an innocent installation to do tests, you know, and observe the stars and all this other stuff. But
it's bouncing crap off the ionosphere. That's what
the ionosphere, just little experiments and things.
But they ain't looking at the stars. That's what the Hubble's for.
Right. Yeah, I think the
show me the flag on the moon, man. Hubble, turn in the moon and show me the flag.
Yeah, show me the footprints. Yeah, show me all that. But
by the way, side note on that, I was actually a hardcore "we never went to the moon" guy for the long time.
We will get to
that
in a second. If I may, had some a couple another 9/11 thing before we get too far away.
Let me pick up where I left off. So when I watched this stuff happen, and then we watched the buildings come down, you know what my first thing I said was?
And probably like me, they brought them down.
I did. I looked at my buddies and we were all standing in awe, like, oh my God. And I lived in Vegas before I went in the Army, and I watched a lot of controlled demolitions.
Yeah.
Right. And I looked at that, and I looked at my buddy and I said, thank God they wired some explosives in there to keep them from falling over into other buildings. And that was my mindset at the point is that they came straight. Oh, there goes the other one. Well, we knew it was going to happen. They had to.
It was part of their, whoever they were, their coordinated attack against America.
Well, I thought it was built into the building as a fail safe. You know, I was an innocent guy, not political. Yeah. I'm not going down a rabbit hole. I was trying to produce music at the time. I was out having a good time on the beach.
You were being logical. A lot of people had the same things that we both had. I thought it was a part of their attack, whoever were flying the planes.
Well, usually your first impression is the correct one, you know?
Well, and in terrorist incidents, they'll have a second part to target the rescue efforts. Usually there will
be a diversion. I can show you some videos on that. Yeah. It's not crazy to think that.
Yeah.
I could show you where there's a preliminary attack to draw the rescue people in, and then they have a big attack.
That's what I thought 9/11 was. I thought that was all a part of it. But they never talked about the explosions or any of that ever again. And that's
when
red flags go off.
Do you think it's possible they just fell the way they said they fell?
Me personally, no.
I don't either.
I'm not an engineer. So
I am now.
And you are.
I am.
I can defer to you. What were you thinking?
So there's compressive strength and shear strength, right? Compressive strength is like, I don't know. Let's take a David Knight pen here real quick. If you all don't watch David Knight. Okay. So we do this testing on concrete, by the way.
Right.
So we test it. We crush. We cast. When they cast a concrete cylinder or concrete pad or do any kind of concrete work, we cast what's called a cylinder.
Okay.
The cylinder is, we put it in this big hydraulic machine. And we crush it until it just explodes.
Right.
And we figure out how many PSI or how strong that concrete is. Right. And that's with no steel reinforcement, just the concrete
just
itself.
Concrete.
It's gravel, sand, and cement, you know, mix it a certain ratio with a certain amount of water. And then it hardens to what, or cures. We don't use harden, it cures. But then there's also another strength where we cast a beam like this.
Yep.
And they'll put it between some pinch points and then push down on it and see until it snaps. Okay. So your shear strength is like when you crush something and then it shears off, right? So I don't know how to explain it. I'm trying to give you like a year's worth of education in like 2 seconds. Well, but crushing something when it comes to concrete is one thing. Knocking it from the side, and let's look at a brick wall. A brick wall is a great example. A lot of these brick fascias you see on the building, so you have a concrete building, but it looks brick on the outside.
Yeah.
They actually build a brick wall, but then it's anchored at certain points to keep it from moving. Because a brick wall, if you hit it from the side, it's done. But it has extremely good, like the weight from the top, really good strength. But if you knock it from the side, it just breaks. Yeah. So there's no way that building fell. If it was hit like with another building from the side, I could see it, you know,
like something the other tower. It's the other
I could see that happening, but not coming down on itself. No, gravity doesn't work that way. Compression doesn't work that way. It wouldn't happen at free fall. If it did happen, it would happen more slowly.
I thought it would, if it was what they said it was, I thought that the part where the planes hit, that could possibly topple over and go into the street.
Right. That's what I thought.
And that's not what happened.
Let's think about this too. So steel, there was a lot. If you ever look at the, go to Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth.
Yep.
And you'll find some videos that show you the actual blueprints of the building.
Right.
These steel I-beam columns that went up, do you think there's just, they flattened? Do you think the entire steel beam was red hot enough to flatten it free fall?
No.
I mean, that would be like how many times the heat of the sun to be able to do that?
Right.
That's impossible. Impossible that would happen. Now, the concrete, I can say if the concrete was crappy concrete, it was old, it got brittle.
But to a fine dust, though?
But you have rebar. You have rebar in the concrete. You've got big steel beams. That building was built as multiple buildings, like glued together. If you look at it, there's no way that fell down without having some kind of a C4 or some kind of cutting agent to slice those steel I-beams off. No way possible. No way. And it falls in line with the reports, initial reports we saw, where people said they're boom, 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 boom down the tower.
Right. Yeah.
They had to cut those steel beams off because those steel beams would have stopped the free fall.
Some of them were shot like hundreds of yards vertically, and there had to be, you could see it in the footage, that had to be have some kind of energy to take that. And not,
well, my initial thought was that it was built in as a safety feature when they built the building, and I would love to believe that, because you know you can't tell people that work there because they wouldn't want to work.
That's
there
the
right
problem.
Right. And I, that's what I initially thought. I thought, well, thank God they did that, because it could have been a disaster if it started to fall and then toppled over into another building.
People that think that if there was more questions from the public to say, come on, the pancake theory, the Nova.
I'm just saying, as an engineer, what they say happened is not, it's not possible.
That's all.
It's impossible.
I'm saying, yeah.
It's impossible. And there's not just me. I'm an amateur and I've done it for a few years in the Army, but there's people out there that have done it for, I mean, maybe there's 1,000 years combined experience on this freaking website. These people know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And I tend to agree with them. Yeah. They're smarter than I am, and they're saying it's not possible. So that's the thing is, you know, I don't want to jump to the conclusion that there's a big conspiracy out to get us all.
No, we're not saying that.
Well, there might be.
I thought Al Qaeda and Muhammad Atta, a part of Al Qaeda, had some kind of access to the building. When we found out who the perpetrators were, you know, in the news reports, I thought him and his 19, you know, cohorts had some access to the buildings to wire. But we never heard anything else. And
then the
story became a pancake thing. It didn't make sense.
So that's the thing to me is when you go out of your way to make a narrative up that we all know is a lie. Why is that? And you know me, Chris, you've seen me on my show on the Nights of the Storm. You've seen me with other people. I'm about the motivation and the why of everything. I always am.
Right.
I'm almost like a detective. Investigation
usually works.
Yeah. Right. I'm not going to jump to any conclusions. I don't want to speculate. I mean, you have to speculate a little bit to try to get your next lead, but then you back it up in fact.
Yeah. And
the fact is, this pancake theory is not feasibly possible. It's zilch, nothing. It's bullcrap.
Right.
There are people out there that say it. So now, is it possible that some people went in there and planted some explosives? I don't know. Is it possible that explosives were put in there when the building was constructed? I know there's a shelf life on explosives. So, you know, how long does that last before your safety net is gone? Personally, that's what I thought initially, because I didn't know about explosives.
Back that's what I was saying. Yeah. That was actually possibly going to be used as an explanation.
Oh, tell me about that. That's interesting.
Well, in the mid-2000s, on rents.com, there were articles about how there was a guy who never ended up publishing this book, but he had a whole book about how during the construction of the Twin Towers, there apparently were supposed to be pre-placed explosive like dynamite to be able to take down the building in the event that
dynamite wouldn't do it.
But like
C4, pre-placed explosives, cutting agent,
demo explosives that were put in place as a safety measure, you know. But as we were saying, would never pass code, like for, you know, a building where people are going to work in every day, but put it in there as a security measure to take it down into its own footprint in case, in the event that there was a fire or whatever, just so one wouldn't topple onto the other one.
Right.
But
that was my initial impression that's what happened. Yeah.
But they were going to use, apparently, whoever they are, they were going to use with the 9/11 truth movement, that excuse had the other ones didn't, you know, take hold, which basically, you know, like holograms and no planes were used at all. Like there were different things used to kind of mess with the 9/11 truth movement. And a lot of them were successful, unfortunately, because it's not so, as strong as it was.
Sorry, I'm saying that the, let me get, see if I get you clear here.
Yeah.
What you're saying is that the explosive thing, which is what I thought, I personally thought that myself when I saw it happen in real time. I was like, thank God they did that. You know, that was a
good thing. I always thought that.
Do you think that was a story
they would never construct those buildings, putting explosives in place and just leave them there so they could demo it one day when they were not useful anymore. I don't think they would have done that. And personally, maybe they would. But if you ask anybody, like, how would you ask regular people to go to their jobs every day and their office, knowing that there were explosives already built into everything to take that building down if need be? No one would want to work there at all.
So you're basically saying that if they did that, nobody would inhabit the building if they had to disclose that. And I would agree with that. But if they were able to, and I guess we'd have to look at some OSHA stuff and things to see if it was even possible as a fail-safe measure to build.
Like you said, there's a shelf life on.
But you said that was actually a story they're going to run with if people didn't believe the pancake thing.
Well, if there was an uproar at the time about like, hey, come on, give us a break. But the war on terror began and no one questioned anything.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Explosives in the building, the media had a blackout, like Building 7. Building 7 was an active blackout in the media. It wasn't brought up again for about three years when Loose Change came out. Then the footage and people remembered there was a third building that day. People forgot about that or didn't even know about Building 7 originally. I saw
building 7
live.
Building 7 was behind the girl's back when she was saying Building 7
BBC,
has fallen.
James Stanley from the BBC.
It was still there. Yeah. And I don't know if that was a mistake. I mean, they could have been standing in front of a green screen.
No, that was live. Footage. And 5 minutes before the building actually came down, the gentleman in the studio conveniently lost the signal and it started scrambling. Because I think they realized that, the building's going to come down right behind her with her talking if we don't cut the signal right now.
Yes. Well, I'm going to play the devil's advocate.
Yes, please do.
I will. So these newscasters are fake. They're fake as hell. They like to pretend to be somewhere they're not. And we've seen this with Anderson Cooper and Katrina. He was standing there in a green screen studio looking like he's in the water saying, I'm watching dead bodies float by me. And he was a liar. Anderson Cooper's a freaking liar. But I could
honestly, another event too that I will not.
Oh, CIA. Yeah. He's also CIA.
Yes.
But going back to the Building 7, so everyone points to the footage of the newscaster from the BBC reporting that the Building 7 had collapsed, but you clearly see it behind her.
Yeah.
It is
so quite, did CNN.
It's right. But it's quite possible that these people were sitting in the safety of a studio and they're rolling some B-roll, you know, on a green screen behind them to appear that they're in place. The only problem I have with it, okay, and I can understand how that could be a mistake they made there. Oh, let's throw some footage up and let's have you report whatever you're reading off the damn screen, and we have some footage. Uh-oh, we got Building 7 in the background, and she said Building 7 just fell. Cut it. We screwed up. That's a producer mess up, right? Because they're pretending to be somewhere they're not. We know this. But my problem is that no plane hit that building.
Right.
Why did it fall down? That's the real thing. You know, how did it fall down? There's fires in buildings all the time that burn for days and days on end.
Yeah.
That you can't tell me. Okay, so maybe a piece of the fuselage came off and hit Building 7 on the exit and some fuel got on there.
What people don't realize is that it was actually built to – it was Rudy Giuliani's emergency bunker, right? It was built to withstand earthquakes, the worst hurricane, even nuclear attacks. And this was in 1999. Mm-hmm. CBS News reported on it because it cost so much money to reinforce this building. So it's not your regular 47-story.
Oh, it had the bulletproof glass and all that, right?
It did. Yep. Yes, yep. Blast-proof glass. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. But
so you're right. It was not hit by an aircraft. It came down.
I won't argue it. Maybe some debris hit it and got the fires.
Oh, some debris did hit it. Yes.
Yeah, that's possible. But would it drop the entire building like in a free fall exactly where the middle goes down first and then it just.
You see the crimp that with the penthouse on the roof. You see the little crimp, classic crimp, where you see like a support column, like right in the middle, kind of go. It resembles that to a T, but I think it was supposed to come down at 11 a.m. because CNN reported Building 7 collapsing at 11 a.m. as well. People don't know about that footage. I found that for a certain book that's coming out soon. So
let me. I think we're supposed to go down. Just to show you the likelihood of this actually happening, right? So they say that if you throw a bunch of monkeys on a typewriter, eventually you'll come up with the combined works of William Shakespeare, right?
Yes,
given enough time,
right?
Okay, a tornado in a junkyard. I guess given enough time, it would build a building. You know,
right?
So. Given enough time, maybe if the fire was smart enough, it could figure out how to take down a building in its own footprint, but three in the same day within a couple hours. I think that's a far stretch.
And two even.
Come on, man. We know we're not stupid. We're not stupid. You got to believe your own eyes. I'm not saying jump into the first rabbit hole.
Question why does this seem funky? You know, you're not blaming anybody, you're just asking the question why.
Well, my whole thing is that the media is lying to you, and let's just get away from 9/11 altogether. Yeah. The media has obviously lied to you. Why are they lying to you? That's what your job is, to tell me what's going on,
right?
Why are you making up some crap?
You're informing. Well, you're not supposed to be steering public opinion.
You're like my parent telling me about Santa Claus. It's like, come on, tell me the truth. You know,
hey,
we're old enough now. You can tell us the truth.
Well, some of our viewers.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm just saying.
Well, say the tooth fairy. There's no tooth fairy.
Yeah, but that. But I'm saying the Santa Claus and the tooth fairy don't need to be in the news. That's right. For parents to teach.
Right.
I don't need them telling me these stories. I need them to tell me the truth.
Right. So and they don't.
Sorry.
They haven't for a long time. No, this is great.
We got 45 minutes till Christmas, brother. And I'm sorry, we got way off the rails on 9/11, didn't we?
But the moon, real quick, the moon.
Yeah.
So you question whether we went to the moon, which you're not alone.
Okay, so yeah, this is an interesting story. So my whole premise was that I've always been a kind of a science geek.
Yeah.
And I always looked at, like, I loved going into space and rockets and things.
Yeah.
We've had a single stage to orbit problem for eons. Well, not eons, but
Those who don't understand what you mean, what exactly is that term?
Oh, so here's the problem with engines, right? With engines, they burn up, as you get higher in the atmosphere, the composition of the atmosphere changes. So you have less oxygen, you need oxygen to burn. That's why we have liquid oxygen on a rocket, because that's your oxidizer. But they burn different efficiencies at different altitudes. So you have to have several different rockets. You have to have a rocket that's very efficient at like zero.
Oh, that's why you see them break away when they're going up.
Yes, exactly. And then there's another problem is the weight. So they basically never had a way to get a single object into space under its own weight, no matter how much fuel you put in it, because the problem becomes, okay, I can get there if I get this much fuel, but now I have more weight. Now I need more fuel. Now that's more weight, and that's more fuel. That's more weight. It's back and forth and back and forth. So what they decided to do was to do it in stages. We're going to get you up to a certain height. We're going to drop off these engines to reduce the weight. Second engines kick in, get you a little further, drop those off. Third engines kick in. Now you're in orbit.
Right.
So I think they've solved that with the SpaceX stuff. I think they're actually doing a single stage now.
Okay.
Where they can actually get up in one shot.
Yeah.
But my problem is in the 60s, when we supposedly went to the moon, we can't even get a small payload into orbit. But we went all the way to the moon. And my hang up was this. I could believe that we can get to the moon. I could believe that. I could believe we could send something to the moon.
Send something, but not human beings. Let's be clear.
Okay, my yes.
There's two different things.
It's go there and come back, and that was my thing. Now I've changed my mind on this, and I'll explain why in a bit. So we were able to get there because once you get going, if you get past a certain point and you have enough inertia, then the moon's gravity will take over approximately 2/3 of the way to the moon. Okay. The moon's gravity will take over to suck you in the rest of the way.
Okay.
But now my problem was, okay, so we barely got ourselves out of Earth's orbit with all this payload, these people and this equipment and the rover and all this stuff. And we're going to get there. And now you got to go around the moon. As they drop the module down on the moon,
right.
They're gonna have to orbit the moon, and they got to move pretty doggone quick to stay in orbit.
Pinpoint accuracy too.
Well, if they move too slow, they're gonna fall into the moon, right? And it's roughly 1/3 the gravitational pull of the Earth. So there's whipping around, and these guys go down and they play some golf and they drive the rover around.
Right.
They pick up some rocks, they bring them back. Now you got this little bitty module that has basically 1/3 of the Earth's problem.
Right.
I got to get myself into orbit.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they don't have any air to deal with, right? With the resistance and stuff like that. So it's a little bit less of a challenge, but they got to get themselves into orbit, but not only get into orbit, but remember the mothercraft is spinning around.
Yeah. With Michael Collins sitting in the thing waiting for them. Yeah.
So this little thing has to get up to that speed and meet up and then marry with it and then, happily fly back to Earth.
Yeah.
So my problem was fuel. And that's where I picked it apart. I said, did you even have the fuel to do all that? Now, and I engaged a very good friend of mine who happens to be an Army officer with a degree in like advanced mathematics. And we sat down one night over a couple beers, and he went through, we dug through all the NASA stuff, and he pulled out all their calculations. A lot of these are floating point integers, like where if you have a certain weight of fuel and you start taking off, as the fuel is expended, the weight gets less. So it's kind of very difficult math, way beyond my skill. But he went through it and he determined, well, at first he thought that I might be onto something. But we found out something that supposedly, did you know they sent all that crap up there before? Because I've never heard of this before.
No.
So I don't know if that's a scrub up to where they realize they screwed up. So they said,
where would they have it landed on the moon?
So supposedly what happened was the rover and all the other equipment that they was up there. Because if my theory was true that they went up there one shot, it's not possible. It is physically impossible.
Dave McGowan, the late Dave McGowan, agreed with you with his articles wagging the moon doggy. He would need another shuttle just for the fuel that they were going to use.
Right.
To tag along.
And that's what NASA, and I don't know, I guess
they said they lost all they said they lost all the technology to go to the moon from the 60s and the data. So I'm surprised you and your friend were able to look at the equation.
That's why I'm still skeptical. Yes, I do. And I'm still skeptical because it might be like a let's make it work kind of thing to squash it. But according to NASA and their documents and their, they put all their math out there. I mean, actually pretty good equations and stuff. But they said that they had sent another rocket first that dropped off. And I'm like, I think that would be pretty big freaking news.
I think you guys probably forgot that detail. But
yeah, it's like, whoa, we landed on the moon. What about we dropped a shuttle on the moon? Yeah. We dropped the rover. Yeah. Nobody heard about this. But supposedly that's what happened. And that's the only way the math works. The only way the math works is they offload a lot of weight on a first trip. And you know what? Maybe we should pick apart that trip.
I think so.
Find out their calculations on that trip to see if it was even possible. Well, because if they took it all up at once,
I'll give you another question that's kind of along those lines, but going the other way. Who was filming them from the moon as they're leaving?
Well, you know what? I don't know because we didn't have Wi-Fi back then.
No.
So it's not like you could put it on auto record and then, let's go back and get it.
Was Richard Nixon doing it from the White House? Because remember, he made a phone call to the moon, too. Yeah, you remember that?
Right.
I can't get reception, like, on the other side of the house. About 300,000 miles away. But anyway, we got less than 7 minutes.
To Christmas time. Can we do a Merry Christmas before we close out?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we actually ran this. Did we really run this at an hour for a test run?
It's 53 minutes. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I think it's a quality episode. You gave us a lot of insight.
Oh, this is just me, man. I do speculate, but I try to
but you kind of have to have a little bit of speculation just to create a hypothesis and everything to work from, but you have to let go if there's nothing there. Nothing holds water. You let it go. But a lot of people don't. They'll be married to something, even if they're wrong.
I just can't just take what I'm told as fact. I mean, I got to dig with Chris Graves, man.
Digging with Chris Graves. Digging. To the moon.
No, Alice. Digging Chris Graves.
You can dig me too. I appreciate that. Okay, so moving on to, Christmas.
Yeah.
What? Not to get too sappy on you, but what does Christmas mean to you, Jason Barker?
Right now it's always been about taking care of family, but then I kind of feel bad because Christmas time we all of a sudden want to talk to our family, and it's like, why didn't we do it all year?
And I'm
Christmas is really not that big of a deal. I mean, when it comes to Christ, I'm talking about the secular Christmas, right? When it comes to Christ, Christmas is very important to me.
On the surface.
My intro video. Yeah. On the surface. Yeah.
Like Santa Claus, things like that. Yeah.
It's all commercial garbage. I think it has its point to get people to like retouch and you get together, but it kind of I'm a little bit salty because I try to talk to my family on a regular basis and they just don't want to seem to call back very often. But then all of a sudden the holidays come and they want to call. I'm like, you know, I've been trying to talk to you all year. Can we? And I'm guilty. When I was in Okinawa for 10 years, I did not talk to anybody. So sometimes
but
I feel like
you kind of had a good excuse, but you, yeah, I see what you mean.
Not really. I mean, I just.
But you had an excuse. It might not be a good one, but the
I'll be honest regular with you, Chris, people. I was a selfish guy. I was a selfish guy just out having a good time. You know, I wasn't political. I was out, you know, I was big into playing pool.
You're living some life. You're living life
right.
for a while.
And, you know, my family at that time was trying to contact me. So now I'm kind of like on the opposite end where I'm like, you know, now you want to talk to me at Christmas.
Right.
But I've been trying to talk to you all year long. And you're like, oh, I'll call you back. And then we play phone tag. And I'm like, you're my mom. You know, you're my aunt.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, maybe I deserve it. Maybe God's teaching me a lesson that I should have been better. And then to teach my kids and grandkids to be better about that. I don't know. Christmas, Christmas should be every day for us as far as the surface of it goes.
Right.
Yeah.
We should treat each other a lot better. Like in,
yes.
In, unfortunately, your story is a lot more common than it should be.
I know, right?
But anyway, I was trying to make it so be a little uplifting, especially with a show that has a digging graves in the background.
Well, what do you got going on for Christmas, man?
Oh God, we really want to bum out.
No, gotta be doing some kind of a dinner or at least hang out or something.
Yeah, I will be hanging out with my mother and sister, and we may watch some comedies like Bill Murray and Scrooge, maybe.
Yeah, Scrooge is good.
Yeah, or Bad Santa. That might be a little too adult.
Dicey.
Or, I don't know, Split the Difference, a Home Alone. You know, there's a lot of violence in that. Yeah, Home Alone.
Die Hard, brother. Die Hard.
Well, in Home Alone, no one got killed, but yeah, Die Hard's a good one. Yeah.
Yippee-ki-yay.
I might just watch Batman Returns. That took place during Christmas, right? Yeah, that's dark, too. That's really dark, too, yeah. Yeah, I will be me, and I will be continuing to write my article or refining my article for the Garrison Journal on TWA Flight 800 and the missing videos that were shown only a few times that night that plane went down. And that'll be the first time I'm actually in a real periodical in print, not something on a website. So I've been hesitant to send it in just because I'm really nervous. I don't want them to think, oh, he's got a kindergarten level of writing, you know. But we'll see what happens with that. But I just want to wish you a Merry Christmas. And
thank you.
I won't say Happy New Year yet because we still have another week. But I'll wish you an early Happy New Year. It should be hopefully better. Than
can we do this again? Can we do this again before New Year's?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'd be more than willing to come on and be your guest again before New Year's. This was fun, Chris. This is really fun. I'm really glad you got your. And by the way, I'm hating to promote you because I'm on your show, but I'm kind of curious. What is your show name? Like, and what are you going to run it? Do you have any ideas about that?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be Digging Chris Graves because, like I said, you got an awesome graphic, you know, put up. An awesome intro and everything. To be honest with you, I might do it on maybe a Wednesday. It all depends, you know. We know a lot of people, right, that have different shows, and I don't want to step on anyone's toes with their shows, so I'm still working that out.
Right. We had the same issue with Knights of the Storm when we started. We wanted to be really careful not to run into. So we pretty much have, I think we have a 2-hour time window on the day we chose before we run into, America Unplugged? Which one is it that runs on Saturday?
Yeah, America Unplugged is at noontime on Saturday.
Right. So we started at 10 and we didn't want to run into them. We don't want to be too early because we're Eastern time.
Yeah.
And 10 is pretty early on like the West Coast. So
where can everyone find your awesome
show, shit,
Night of the Storm?
Okay, so we're at actually, can you share the screen with us? Here, I you know what, I got it. We're on the same thing. I can...
And since we're live streaming, going over 59 minutes won't really be affecting anything, right?
Oh no, live stream can go forever. I'm not all prepared to show. I'm glad you asked. I was actually going to show some stuff. And by the way, I am, just disclaimer, Chris has me on as a guest, but I am helping him produce today just in case he needed it, but he's been doing it on his own. So excellent job, Chris.
Thank you for that, by the way. Thank you. It's much appreciated. So we got Knights of the Storm, the website. Here we go.
Okay, so we have theknightsofthestorm.com, or we actually also have knightsots.com. We'll get you to the same place.
And it'll bring you there. Okay.
Yep. And it basically says who we are. We got the about tab, about us, whatever. Watch. So what I really like about this, our website, we are not self-serving at Knights of the Storm. We actually started this to serve other people. So we got, friends is what I wanted to go to. Yeah. So we have all the people that inspired us. We have David Knight, America Unplugged, Tony Arterburn, Don Jeffries, Eric Peters, which is, he doesn't have a video show, but he does a lot.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about him because I'm not familiar with his work.
Oh, he does. He's a libertarian guy and he does really good write-ups on cars. He's really into the auto driving stuff and the EV stuff and like how it's like garbage. He actually thinks that there's a purpose for some EVs, in and around town, kind of like a golf cart kind of thing. I agree with him. We got Gardner Goldsmith. He's an amazing guy. Charlie Robinson, which he doesn't really know who we are, but we still promote him. But Prisoner Number 6, and you're there all the time, right, Chris?
Yeah, I'm a weekly contributor, so I'm there pretty much all the time.
Yeah, I want to get on his show at some point just to hang out.
Vice versa. Everyone wants to meet up, and I think that's fantastic.
Oh, this is a tornado of people just coming together recently. Yeah. So back to the schedule. So
this is a very, very good service you're providing here.
Yeah, and we have to build on it. We only have like certain people, but we're going to have a Monday through Sunday where you can find like-minded people that run these kind of shows. So Knights of the Storm, you were asking about us. So we're on Twitter, primarily on Twitter. And it's
so Knights. When you guys go live at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time every Saturday morning, they, no matter what, any of the other platforms that you're on, you definitely know that Twitter will always be the number one for the live stream. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, we always stream to Twitter.
And what are the other backup?
Twitter, DLive. So we're restricted to three at a time on our platform. So we have Twitter, DLive, and Odyssey. Okay. Sometimes we don't do the Odyssey because Odyssey's weird. It'll stream live. We don't have a lot of people that watch there, even though that's actually quite popular platform.
I've heard
actually.
That.
Yeah, it's very popular, but we just don't have followers there. We haven't really promoted it. But
that's where we're going to change things for everybody.
Yeah. Okay. But we
you're on Gab too, right?
Gab is after the fact and Rumble. Okay. But if you go to our site, you can find it all. But we do live stream to YouTube occasionally. But if we know it's going to be risque stuff, because our second episode, we got a warning because we talked about the vaccine. And literally what we talked about was we talked about a fact check on a vaccine claim that I proved the fact check to be wrong, but I didn't prove it to be wrong. I said it was subjective, but I never made everything was backed up 100%.
Everything was legit.
100%. I mean, these are like Pfizer documents and stuff. Right. And they still said, you know what? You said the word vaccine, you're out of here. I'm like, you know what? I don't even, I think the next YouTube video I want to do is me deleting my YouTube. Like seriously. But anyway, enough about Knights of the Storm, brother. Thanks for letting me.
Yeah, no, I really appreciated this. You taking the time, especially on Christmas Eve, keeping me company, keeping me sane, you know. Until we meet. Oh, I need to have some kind of a fancy setup.
Hey, are you even monitoring your Twitter right now to see if anybody's watching. That'd be kind of cool to give shout outs if you had.
Oh, you can do that. Yeah, it's a good idea. No, I've been keeping all my attention on you, sir. But yeah, no, I got to learn to start doing that a little more closely. Let me see.
I can look it up, man.
Okay. But yeah.
Wait, I mean, so, you always got to like, if people are spending their time with us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Chris Graves, let's see if we're even, we don't even check to see if we're even broadcasting, right?
I know.
We're there live and we have no viewers right now, probably because it's Christmas Eve, middle of the night.
Crying. No, I wish we hadn't seen that now.
No, it's all good. It's Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all good, but
no, there's some if you go, there's some analytics though that say that people have looked at it.
They accidentally on their way to certain websites.
On their way to Santa's workshop, you know.
We'll say Santa's workshop just to be safe, because you know what I'm saying.
No. Well, that's the thing. That's why I wanted to find out when you were going to run, because we want to put you. Definitely want to put you on our site and promote you. But you know, I know you're
still. I don't want to do that prematurely and then find out like. Five of my friends have the same like spot, and then you got to change it on the thing again. I want to make sure it's concrete, and I'll have that for you like sooner rather than later. Obviously.
Well, that's up to you, man. And I totally get the struggle. Knights of the Storm dealt with the same issue. Yep. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I appreciate you and all you do, and I'm glad that I met you and Mr. Angry Tiger and Rhonda and
don't forget Tom Cooper.
Tom Cooper. And yep. Vince, and I don't want to say, is it something dog?
Rescue dog. Call her Teresa. She gave her a real name out.
Teresa. Okay, that's what I wanted to say, Teresa. No, I'm glad because, I don't know, in the world we're in, you know, originally I was under the impression you don't make friends past a certain age, you know, like real strong, lifelong type friends. But this whole, I don't know, the lockdown and just how the internet and everyone, that's how everyone, you know, communicates. Now, I'm meeting people that kind of go against that whole idea that you can't make friends when you're a certain age, past a certain age. You know what I mean? That kind of broke that myth out the water, I guess.
No, I think there's some merit to that, but I think that there's something happening, and I don't know how spiritual you are, but you know me,
I keep it open in mind.
Yeah, I smoke cigarettes and I drink beer, whatever. You know, I'm not the perfect person, and I'm trying to get better on that. But I'm very spiritual, and I see something happening right now where God is coming down now and taking a very big hearty hand in what's happening. And there is a division of like, I'm sorry, who's going to go the way of the mark of the beast and who's going to not go. And he knows that we're going to be screwed.
That's why we're kind of gravitating.
Yes. It's like a, we are. Exactly. And it's just happening naturally. Like thought I'd start a stupid show, you know, and Angry Tiger got on. We got some people on, and the people that are serious about like what they believe in and they have conviction, it's like we're just boom. It's like we're a nucleus that's going to start an atom that's going to start a thing.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's no, great. That's and great. Billy Ray Valentine, he's trying to work with Angry, and they kind of missed each other today. Yeah. But I think he's trying to get like something big together. Was it called freeworld.fm?
I always I mess it up. I said Freedom FM. I think it's Free World FM.
Oh, I'm excited. If he wants to have Knights of the Storm as part of that, I am 100% on board with it. That's great.
From what I hear him talking about, he's really into you guys. So.
Oh, that's good. That's good because we're into him. And it's a group. It's shoot, man.
Donald Jeffries, he loves you guys too. I can tell. I know that for a fact. Yeah,
that's great, and
that's awesome.
We want to help others, and you know, this is
sort of why we're in good company.
If anybody doubts what we're about, look at our website. There's not a single ad on there. There's no ads.
That says a lot.
It doesn't ask for your email address. It doesn't ask for anything. It's just information.
Just promoting people that you respect and you want to get their word out. Well, I appreciate your time, Mr. Jason Barker. We will do this a lot, as much as you'll allow me. And with that, we'll go to the outro.
Real quick, Don. Chris. Yeah, Chris, I just want to say thank you for having me on as your first guest, even though it's a test thing. It's an honor for me. I really respect your research, and thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I respect you as well, sir. And outro, folks.
How dare you?
Did it end or no? Did you end it?